For those who find arguments like these abstract and remote, there is a more practical argument against foreign aid. International welfare has not worked any better than domestic welfare, despite the trillions spent in each case. Foreign aid, however pure the intentions that may have motivated it, has been a reactionary device by which truly loathsome leaders have been strengthened and kept in power. Trillions of dollars later, the results of development aid programs are so bad that even the New York Times, which admits nothing, has acknowledged that the programs haven't worked. No wonder Kenyan economist James Shekwati, when asked about development aid programs to Africa, has been telling the West, "For God's sakes, please just stop." The greatest prophet of the foreign aid debacle, who was ignored until his predictions came true, as inevitably as night follows day, in the 1980s and beyond, was the late Peter Bauer of the London School of Economics. It is to his extraordinary corpus of work that I refer anyone who actually cares about helping people in need, as opposed to repeating mindless slogans or reflexively giving government programs the benefit of the doubt. On the other hand, the economic success stories of the past half century have arisen not from foreign aid, but out of the extraordinary workings of the free market, the great engine of human well-being that everyone is taught to hate. I would choose freedom, even if it meant less prosperity, but thankfully, we do not face such a choice. Look at the countries that have risen from poverty to affluence, and you will find places where economic freedom has a fighting chance, and contracts and property are respected. Look at Botswana, which has one of the freest economies and among the most prosperous people on the African continent. In South America, look at Chile, whose people enjoy a standard of living of which most people elsewhere on the continent can only dream. Look at the economic miracle in Ireland, or the fantastic growth rates in Estonia. Let's quit pretending that we don't know how to make people prosperous, when the evidence is all around us. The ideas of liberty and a free economy have not spread with equal force everywhere in the world, nor have they been implemented with consistency. The results have been overwhelmingly all the same. Between 1980 and 2000, India's real GDP per head more than doubled, and in China, real income per capita rose by 400%. Poverty in China went from 28% in 1978 to 9% in 1998. In India, it fell from 51% in 1977-1978 to 26% in 1999-2000. Never before, writes economist Martin Wolf, have so many people, or so large a proportion of the world's population, enjoyed such large rises in their standards of living. Poverty has also been reduced throughout the world as a whole. In 1820, over 80% of the world's population lived in what the literature calls extreme poverty. By 1950, that figure was 50%. By 1992, it was down to 24%. In the United States, poverty declined consistently from 1950 until 1968, when supposedly anti-poverty programs were instituted. Since then, poverty figures have stagnated in spite of trillions of dollars spent. Never before in the history of the world have so many people seen such an improvement in their living standards, and these wonderful results have come about quite in spite of official development aid programs devised in the West. They are, instead, the natural result of the market economy. Forget about all the propaganda, the sloganeering, the misinformation, the willful misunderstanding of how the market works, all of which characterize fashionable opinion on the subject. These are facts, and they should not be unexpected facts if we understand sound economics. If Americans knew the real story of foreign aid and how it has deformed the recipient economies, aided repressive regimes, and even contributed to violent strife, they would oppose it even more strongly than they already do. If they knew about the record of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank when it comes to helping developing countries, they would be similarly appalled. At long last, these seemingly untouchable programs need to be called into question and then, in the name of liberty and humanity, discarded forever. Mayan is an isolationist position, only to those who believe that the world's peoples can interact with each other only through their governments, or only through the intermediary of a supranational bureaucracy. That unspoken assumption is dangerous and dehumanizing. There is nothing isolationist about opposing coercive government-to-government wealth transfers,